the Public News Service Daily Newscast, April the 8th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. A new analysis of the nation's transportation infrastructure calls for policymakers to lay the groundwork now for a sustainable, efficient, modern, and inclusive mobility system.
The study released today calls for policymakers in Arizona and the nation to move toward transportation options that meet all consumers' needs and protect public health. The report says the current fossil fuel-based infrastructure pollutes the environment, causes unnecessary deaths, harms the public health, and contributes to climate change. Diane Brown with Arizona Public Interest Research Group Education Fund, which released the study, believes people are ready for change.
If policymakers made a deliberate effort to provide us with viable transportation options, we are confident more Arizonans would choose those options.
She adds that restructuring the transit system is an opportunity to bring new options to people of color and low-income communities. Mark Richardson reporting.
Brown said that Biden's infrastructure initiative, if approved, could drive the type of transportation changes needed, but that state and local officials must find the political will to bring a new transportation system to states like Arizona and others. Our friends at NPR report President Biden today will announce initial steps his administration plans to take on firearm safety, along with nomination of a prominent gun safety advocate to lead the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, also known as ATF. NPR reports Biden will announce the Justice Department is going to pursue two new regulations, one to curb the proliferation of so-called ghost guns, and a second that would regulate stabilizing braces, accessories that can be used to make pistols more like rifles. And as the Biden administration continues to promote its plan to address the nation's crumbling roads and bridges, a coalition of worker advocates say it's time for the U.S. to invest in the nation's care infrastructure.
Ashley Pinelli with 9to5 Colorado says the COVID health crisis exposed gaping holes and disparities. Black and brown communities were disproportionately at risk to become critically ill with COVID-19, but 40% of people of color have no access to paid leave.
We just don't have the best care infrastructure in this country, and we are most certainly the only industrialized country that doesn't have a basic paid family and medical leave program.
Pinelli says a national paid family leave policy will help the country weather future crises. Polling has shown an overwhelming majority of voters, including 86% of Republicans, say all workers should have access to emergency paid sick, family, and medical leave. I'm Eric Galatis.
This is PNS. Advocates say that some bills in Montana will make it harder for some people with disabilities to vote. Here's Eric Teganoff.
Election integrity and security have been top priorities for Montana lawmakers this session. House Bill 176 ends voter registration on the day of elections. It passed both chambers last week. Disability Rights Montana staff attorney Beth Brenneman says it presents a major hurdle to people with difficult health concerns.
Voting is not the primary concern. They very much believe in voting, but their health care has to come first. And so having that last day to be able to register and vote is really critical when somebody's been dealing with complicated health issues.
HB 176 moves the deadline for late voter registration to the Monday before an election. Supporters say it will decrease the workload for officials on election day. According to the CDC, more than a quarter of Montana adults have at least one disability.
Meantime, our Nadia Romligon reports that mask wearing hides facial expressions and eliminates the ability to lip read. As a result, many older adults and people with hearing loss have struggled to communicate during the pandemic.
Audiologist and chair of the North Carolina Board of Examiners for Speech-Language Therapist and Audiologist, Adam Mellenbacher, says hearing loss patients could benefit from more accommodations such as captions in Zoom calls or texting during appointments.
Some of them have just given up on interacting with people, or they get frustrated because they can't get those extra cues, or they're just not hearing as clearly, and that makes them self-isolate even more than already doing.
Case studies from around the world also point to a possible connection between COVID-19 infection and hearing loss in some individuals.
Finally, our Lily Bolke tells us about a bill that is pending in Illinois in the House of Representatives there. It would bring misdemeanor cases against older teenagers to juvenile court rather than to adult court.
House Bill 111 would allow emerging adults to be considered, quote, delinquent minors and adjudicated in the juvenile system up to their 19th birthday. Lael Chester with Columbia University's Justice Lab says 18 is an arbitrary age to start bringing teens into adult court. She says young people go through a tremendous period of growth in their mid-20s, and that not only can young people be particularly vulnerable in the adult court and prison system, but it affects the rest of their lives.
When you are applying to college, when you have jobs and they ask you if you've been convicted of a crime, you haven't been convicted, you've been adjudicated. And it really provides young people with an opportunity to get their feet in the ground.
Recent research has shown when people are not arrested and prosecuted for nonviolent misdemeanors, they're less likely to offend again. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations and online at publicnewsservice.org.